Isa, Deacon Zeacon, Jeff Rosignol. It's a fine blend of discipleship and entertainment. Truth is here.
I'm titling this message, Building a Reputation, and this is just a look at 1 Thessalonians chapter 1. And what we're going to find there is some very cool stuff, of course. First, that there is Paul has a thanksgiving to God for that local church, and then two, the power of the gospel, and then three, a reputation, which is the areas we will cover. And as you heard in Acts, that story, Paul was simply being faithful, going around sharing it. And one thing you hear that I just want to point out here is he went to the synagogue, which is what he always did when he went to a new place, and he showed from the scripture how the Messiah had arrived in Jesus. And some people believed, and the ones that didn't are the ones that caused trouble. And what I want you to note out of that story that you heard is that they didn't necessarily start trouble in the church, but they went and all they had to do was stir up a crowd. That was it. And make up a quasi-truth about saying that this Jesus is the real king and people should follow him. And although that is true, the way they put it was for the sole purpose of instigation. And all Paul was doing was being faithful to the word. And it led to some very dangerous things, not only for him, but for his listeners, as you heard in Acts chapter 17. So with that experience behind them, Paul goes on, and now he's writing letters back to this town, the city of Thessalonica. And that's where we have letter, 1 Thessalonians, which is a letter. All right, it's pretty simple. It's a letter. Paul is writing a letter to them to encourage them. And what we have here is, I'm just going to start it, where he starts with a thanksgiving. Paul, Silas, and Timothy to the church of the Thessalonians in God the Father and the Lord Jesus Christ. Grace and peace to you. We always thank God for all of you, mentioning you in our prayers. We continually remember before our God and Father your work produced by faith, your labor prompted by love, and your endurance inspired by the hope of our Lord Jesus. Now I want to pause right there for a moment before I move on, because I want to break this out. Paul starts off by thanking them and giving thanksgiving to God for them and how they're an encouragement and that he's praying for them a lot. But what he says is these things, I want to pull out some three very important factors that are in verse 3. Now, one thing I want to encourage you of before I talk about it is, I've used this illustration before, I'm going to do it again. If you remember those 3D photos you can get at the library, they got a bunch of spots, and if you stare at it long enough and you go cross-eyed long enough, it starts to get a depth to it. How many of you have successfully done that before? Okay, good. There's about 5 of us. All right. Well, with that, it's really cool. You can start to see things. You know, it could be dinosaurs or flowers or whatever. And the same holds true of the scripture. Not that you stare at it till you go cross-eyed, but the more you study it, you begin to see the patterns, and you see the flow of thought, because the Bible is very concise in its flow of thought. It's very systematic. It's going from point A to point B. It has a purpose. It is not just abstract thoughts. Even though I'm going to preach to you today, and I'm going to be grabbing scripture from all over the place, the Bible has a flow of thought to it. And these letters that Paul writes are specifically designed that way. And so at verse 3, there's 3 things I want to extract from here, and I'm going to read verse 3 to you again. We continually remember before our God and Father your work produced by faith, your labor prompted by love, and your endurance inspired by the hope of our Lord Jesus Christ. Now I want to take here's a cool thing. But before I do that, I got to tell you, the hardest thing for me is when I hear somebody talking, you know, out in the community or something, and I want to interact with them and talk about God, somehow get this back to Scripture. The challenge I have is which way to go. Not that I don't have a way, but when someone says something, it triggers multiple thoughts and multiple Bible verses, and you're like, which way should I take them? Which is the most direct way? And so I'll pause, and it'll almost seem like I don't have anything to say. It's like, what do I tell them? Ah, what do I say? It's not because there isn't any words to say. It's just there's so many. The scripture's so connected. Even though I mentioned there's a flow of thought, it's like a fisher's net. It is so connected. All the roots, it's like looking at a road map. And it's like, which way should I go to get from here to there and get them to there? You know what I'm saying? That's how amazing the scripture is, the Bible. So what I'm going to do now is I'm going to pull from 1 Thessalonians chapter 1, these first three verses. As you can see on the PowerPoint, I've highlighted these three areas. And then from that, when I looked at that, I started to think, and because the Holy Spirit, the work of the Holy Spirit, you start to remember other verses that connect the dots. And now these foundational truths, these are what's called timeless truths. That even though Paul was writing it to the Thessalonians, it's still true today. That's what's called a timeless truth. And that's the cool thing about the scripture. Now, let's take a look at these. Work produced by faith. I'm going to jump right to the most controversial thing, book of the Bible when it comes to classical Reformed theology, which I would fall under, which is, I'll unpack that later. But anyway, in James, the book of James, chapter 2, I'm going to highlight the concept of work produced by faith. And I'm going to read you some verses from there. In James chapter 2, verse 17, it says, "In the same way, faith by itself, if it is not accompanied by action, is dead." Verse 18, "But someone will say, you have faith, I have deeds. Show me your faith without deeds, and I will show you my faith by what I do." And then I'm going to jump down to verse 20. "You foolish man, do you want evidence that faith without deeds is useless?" And I'm going to jump right down to verse 24. And I'm underlining this one. Is "You see that a person is justified by what he does and not by faith alone." Wait a minute here. What's going on? Why am I picking this fight? And finally in verse 26, "As the body without the spirit is dead, so faith without deeds is dead." So I'm pulling some verses. And now if you believe in the false unbiblical doctrine, now you know where I stand, of free will, then this is right up your camp. You're comfortable with this, to say that a man is justified by what he does. But if you look in the context of those very verses that I read to you above and below it, it says back in 17, "In the same way, faith by itself, if it is not accompanied by actions, is dead." And then 18, "But someone will say, you have faith, I have deeds. Show me your faith without deeds. I will show you my faith by what I do." And then again, verse 20, I'm reading these to you again because I want you to listen carefully. "The foolish man, you foolish man, do you want evidence that faith without deeds is useless?" If I was to extract that one verse, 24, that says that a person is justified by what he does and not by faith alone, if I was to pull that out by itself, then, aha, there it is. And then an atheist or an unbeliever could say, well, there's your contradiction right there, because even on our church sign, we have Ephesians, which says, not by works, lest any man boast. So what's going on? Could this possibly be a contradiction? Ha-ha! No, that isn't the case at all. As I mentioned in those verses right above it, faith without action is dead. Do you know what that means? That if there's no evidence, there's no faith. In other words, a actionless faith is not faith at all. Does that make sense? The two are connected, not needing each other, but it is one and the same. It's the same organism. They are organically connected. So faith will produce results. If there's no results, there's no faith. There is no faith. So if there's a person who can their entire life faithfully, quote unquote, go to church, but still use the Lord's name in vain and not have a drop of conviction about it, could give a rip about reading their Bible any other time but in this place, and only if someone else opens it for them. There is no evidence there of any sort of, or let me ask you this, Galatians 5, struggling and agonizing over sin. The church, thankfully, is full of hypocrites. And the light's on me, buddy. I'm the biggest one.
Whoa, Jeff. Let's give the people a break and end right here for today. Has this got you thinking? Please leave a comment on Facebook or send us a tweet. Truth is here.
Honey, why is the UPS guy delivering a bunch of packages to us?
Because I support the SpeakingDeacon.com social media ministry. Shop and serve.
I don't follow you.
When I shop at the 43 different stores from the SpeakingDeacon.com, it supports the ministry.
Why doesn't he just ask for money like the other ministry?
Because it's a business tree, not just a ministry. The Bible teaching is free and the shopping is for me.
I think I'm going to support the Speaking Deacon. I need a new power drill. The SpeakingDeacon.com is a bridge ministry for your unchurched loved ones. They may not come to church, but they might listen at home. The SpeakingDeacon.com. Truth is here.